It's going to focus on one particular subject, and I need your help. I need your help and your help and you listening over there, your help, and you in the car or at home, at work, wherever you are, need your help. If I had a dollar for every time somebody has called this program, this particular program or other programs I've done over the years, and used the phrase, babies having babies, Chris, I would have a mansion in Carmel. If I had a dollar for every time somebody said that. Chris might even have, you know, a house in Carmel too, Zionsville somewhere. But the fact is, in our community, when people talk about babies having babies, oh, this is a big problem in our community, it leaves the impression that a large percentage of the births or the moms in our black community are babies having babies, which is code for teenagers, persons under 18. So the other week I said, what really is the statistic? Because everybody's going around talking about babies having babies. And they must know. So is this a large segment of all births? And went to the Federal Centers for Disease Control, the CDC. They had a database nationally. Went to our Marion County Health Department. They had a database that went back 16 years. Back to, from 2012 backwards to 1997 for Marion County. Did you know that in those 16 years, there were 61,285 African-American children born over a 16-year period in Marion County? That's a lot. That's a lot. That's almost as big as Carmel. And in those 16 years, only 6.8% of those births were to moms under the age of 18. Only six, not 10%, not 20%, not 30%, 6.8%. In 1997, 10.9% of all black births, it's about 386, were to moms under the age of 18. The next year, it went down to 9.5%. By the year 2000, black teen births in this city had dropped to only 7.8% of all births. By 2005, it had dropped to 6.4%. By 2009, it had dropped to 5.6%. By 2011, it had dropped to 4%. And by the year 2012, last year data is available, there were only 146 black births to teen moms in this city. Just 3.8%. That's an almost two-thirds drop in babies having babies in this city over a 16-year period. At the same time, the largest group of births, the largest group of moms, are women aged 20 to 24. 37.2% of all births in this city are to moms between the ages of 20 and 24. The next largest group of moms in the black community are women ages 25 to 29. 25.5% of all births are to moms of that age. You add that together, 62.7%, almost two-thirds of all births, 62 out of every 100 black kids that are born in this county are born to women in their 20s. That's not babies having babies. That's young women having babies. So as I thought about going into the Mother's Day weekend, and a lot of times we talk on this program about parents, about kids, about young people, young adults committing violence, and all the problems that are out there. It all falls back on the parent. And since we're coming up on Mother's Day, this is where I need your help. because we have the smartest talk show audience in the whole, I don't know, the whole state, the whole world, right here. And we're always talking about in this community, well, we got to do this, we got to do that, and da 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 da. When have we ever, Chris, talked about Ma? When have we ever asked, what makes a good mom a good mom? What makes a mom successful? I'm not talking about successful at their job, but successful at the job of being a mom. What does it take? What are the keys? There obviously are successful moms out there. Because if there weren't, this world would really be in a world of trouble. So, this is the question of this Friday going into the Mother's Day weekend. And we're going to do the same thing going into the Father's Day weekend in June. At 239-1310. Or send me a text message at 37890. Use the keyword Amos. Or send me a email at praiseindy.com. What makes a good mom? What makes a mom successful at being a mom? What are those ingredients? What are those qualities? What are those characteristics? Let's put them all out there. Let's share, because there could be somebody listening that's gonna be a mom. In your words, might help give them wisdom. We've said on this program, there is no textbook on how to be a mom. They do not give an I-step test to girls on how to be a mom. They don't give an I-step test to the guys on how to be a dad. Nobody reads Dr. Spock anymore. I don't even know that. Or if they read Dr. Spock, it's the Star Trek guy, not the baby guy. So what makes a good mom? What makes a successful mom? And I know there's a lot of moms out there, a lot of grandmoms, fellas, dads, husbands, significant others. Y'all can weigh in on this too. Community leaders, weigh in on it. Pastors, lay leaders, come on in, weigh in on it. Let's have this discussion in our community. What makes a good mom? What makes a successful mom? 239-1310, 239-1310. Let me start today with Tammy. Hi, Tammy.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm fine.
Good. I think a successful mom is a mother who decides not to have an abortion and keep the child. Mm-hmm. I think she's successful by whatever she decides to do. If she decides to raise the child or give the child to another loving couple, I think that's what makes a successful mom, because every successful mom is not a birth mom.
That's good. Now, that is a good point. And not only when I talked about the percentage of teen births going down in our community, also the percentage of abortions is going down in our community. So that's interesting. Does a mom, because sometimes a good mom is a mom to a child that they didn't birth themselves, right?
Correct.
Okay.
I know wonderful moms who, for whatever reason, never birth a child.
What are those qualities that make that woman a great mom?
The love of her child, she will sacrifice to make sure that child has the best life that they could give them.
So sacrifice, not only love is important, but sacrifice is important?
And admitting mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I appreciate that. Thank you. Let me go to Vivian.
All right.
Thank you. Let me go to Vivian at 239-1310. Hi, Vivian.
Hi, Amos.
How are you?
Wonderful. How about yourself?
I'm fine. So what makes a good mom? What makes a successful mom?
To me, I believe if you stay, within pray to God. He'll give you instructions. And love your child regardless of their health, disabilities, whatever form, you know. And what I mean about disability help, if they come here born with a disability, you love them and nurture them. And most of all, I know if you stay in church and pray and read the Bible, that God would lead you and give you instruction how to be a successful and a good mother.
Is also being a good mother understanding that the kid's going to get on your nerves and you can't let it get to you?
Yes, that's right. You have to know how to take a time out for yourself. You need your family support. You need true friends and that, you know, can say, hey, I'll take the kids for a few hours or a couple of days or a weekend. Mm-hmm. You need that support.
Okay.
And if you don't have that support, then a good mother will find that support and reach out to the community.
Is that something we need for those moms that don't have that support system? We kind of need, like Moms Anonymous?
Exactly. We really do. We really do because I work with kids every day, and I can see a lot of what the parents, the mothers are feeling. If they feel stressed,
mm-hmm.
the kids feel stressed. That's why, like, they diagnose quite a few kids with ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
That's stress in those babies. Those babies don't have all that. They don't need to be medicated. What they need to is love mm-hmm. and need to learn how to release their stress in another form, and that's where you teach the parents, the mothers, how to release their stress and not let the stress get over into their baby.
And see, that's something. That's something they don't teach. They don't teach you in school. There's no I step on stress.
I know that, and I mean, just by being an adult,
yeah.
and a mother, a parent, then they should know that. And first thing they want to do, Amy, is you have to take them to the doctor, get some pills before they can come to school. That is so wrong because they stop the development in those kids' mind, have those kids sitting like zombies,
mm-hmm.
You know, don't want to eat, Amy. A lot of the medication have them become diabetics, you know, and it's a lot. I see a lot that it's wrong, and it's because the mother needs extra little nurturing and love. Just say if it was most of my parents are younger than me.
Right.
So I have been through what they're going through, and I can reach out to them. And as African-American women in our community, instead of looking at them and downgrading them, you should speak to them in a manner. And if you speak to them, just say, hello, how are you doing today?
Mm-hmm.
And then that opens up and starts to build rapport with the younger ones to say, well, they're all not bad. So they will listen to us more, you know,
all right.
Instead of being very upset and nasty with it.
Vivian,
to
great.
Help them to be the best they can be. Thank you.
Oh, Vivian, great contributions. Thank you. Let me go to Tanya, 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, Amos.
Hi.
I always call in every now and then when I can. And I promise you, my mother would just die to hear that you have this topic today. And she's flying to Florida right now. Her church in Florida that she used to attend several years ago invited her down to come and speak to the young mothers of the church exactly about this topic. But let me say this. I was a teen parent. Got pregnant 3 months after my 16th birthday, had my son when I was 17. He'll be 30 in July, and, of course, I'll be 47, needless to say. However, what makes a good mother, and I tell you, it's just phenomenal. These young mothers today, they make me cringe because I have never seen anything like what I see now. The screaming at your kids in the store, talking all loud, trying to be seen, and for what? All that teaches this child to do is to act the same way that you acted. These young mothers coming up today, those that are in their 20s, you need to understand something. This is not about you.
Oh.
Stop making it about you. It's about these children that didn't ask to be brought in the world that you brought here. And God decided to entrust you with these children. And you have to do that which is right by them. Doesn't matter. When you choose to have a child, that's it for you.
Mm-hmm.
That is it. You can still go off to college. You can still do everything. But understand your primary focus needs to be this child. I have my degree, and believe you me, by the time I graduated college, I had 3 kids. But I kept it moving. I didn't drop out of high school. I graduated high school early, and I kept moving. But that also comes from family and seeing family succeed. Sometimes it takes that one person in the family to motivate everybody else to do better. But these young mothers, this is my advice to you. Understand that it's not about you. God does give you a discerning spirit as a mother to know what's right and what to do. And if you don't know, ask. And that's the biggest thing. They don't ask. But understand, when someone tries to give you a little bit of wisdom, learn to listen. Doesn't mean you have to agree, but learn to listen and take what they say. Put it in the back of your mind if you don't like it, but I guarantee you, somewhere down the road, it's going to pop in your head what they said, and you'll know what to do.
All right, Tanya, I appreciate the feedback, the testimony. Thank you. 239-1310. 239-1310's afternoon's name is What Makes a Good Mom? What makes a mom successful? Not successful on the job, not successful in their volunteer activities, but successful as a mom. 239-1310. 239-1310's afternoon's name is, I got a note, somebody hit me on, my Twitter at Amos, WTLC Indy. Sharita said, putting your children's needs before your own. Hashtag self-sacrifice. 239-1310. Tell me, go to Sheila. Hi there.
Hello, Amos. How are you doing today?
I'm fine.
That's good. I've learned a lot from my own mom. And one of the things that we communicate, whether she agrees with what I'm saying or whether I agree with what she's saying, we keep that communication open. And I'm able to share with her pretty much anything that goes on in my life. And, you know, and she's geared me, you know, with the mistakes she's made, like, okay, and I've learned from that. So, you know, you've made mistakes, and let your child know you made those mistakes, and you don't want them to see, you know, them making the same mistake you have made.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also think the church comes together as a family, a unit, where it's not only that parent raising that child, but it's a community raising that child. So whatever they see you do and your behaviors and who you bring into your circle, they're going to do the exact same thing. So I think you need to watch out, you know, who you bring into your circle, what you put in front of your child, and also remember that that child is with you until you leave this world. I mean, just because they're grown does not mean that they're not your child anymore. They're still going to need you, you know, one way or another.
It struck me yesterday. I don't even know why. I ended up watching the draft, the NFL draft. And they paraded before the draft. All these big football players are about to become gazillionaires. And each one of them walked across the stage before the draft started, NFL draft started at the Radio City Music Hall. Each one of them walked out with their mom. And one of them, one of the ones, real high draft choices, he talked about how his, Deion Sanders was interviewing him after he got drafted by some team. And he talked about his mom's sacrifice, how his mom worked a couple of jobs to help him get to where he is today. And he says, I'm glad that I now have this opportunity to give back to my mom. And that looked like there's a great relationship there between that son and his mom.
And that's what it needs to be, because I'm a single parent. And it's hard to raise. I have 2 boys, and it's hard raising boys, especially this day and age.
Mm-hmm.
I have a 9-year-old and a 19-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that we have to go through as women, I can teach them what I feel that, you know, how a man should be. But having men in their lives that are responsible and that are godly men first and foremost, it's hard to find those mentors in our community. And so I've even, you know, as a parent, you know, I don't have all the solutions, but I try to reach out to other resources.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay if you don't have all the answers or, you know, look for those people who do have those solutions to help you be the best parent that you can be. It's okay that we need help. And it's good that you ask that. Then that lets the child know, okay, well, you know, she's looking to see, you know, what is best for me. What, you know, even though she doesn't have an answer, she's going to go out and get the answers that I need to be successful. And I think talking to your children is so important, and playing with them is very important. Coming together, you know, because when I grew up, we ate dinner together at the table.
Mm-hmm.
Where there was no, okay, well, I'm eating dinner at this time, and I'm going to eat in my bedroom. No. And I still do that same stuff today. We come together, and we sit as a unit, and we talk about how the day went. You know, what is rough? And then there was one caller that talked about their kids with ADHD.
Yeah.
And some of the stuff I agree with, but my youngest son has ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
And it is hard trying to find the actual medication because we're on our sixth medication. But that's when you really have to be involved because it's not always, you know, medication solutions. You know, sometimes it is behavior. Sometimes it is stress related. But as a parent, that's when you still have to go, okay, why should they be on this, you know, this medication? What is this medication going to do? You really have to do your homework when it starts, when you do have to put their kids on medications, because sometimes there is a chemical imbalance, and to find that right ingredient for that imbalance is difficult. And you have to find a very good understanding doctor that talks to you and listens to you, because if that doctor just wants to medicate that child, that's not good.
Alright, great.
You need to find someone who really listens to what's going on in that house, because it could be other factors too, not only medication. It could be some behavior. It could be some things, right. You know, the father might not be there. So it's a lot of things that we need to come together as a community to do to raise that, these children today.
Sheila, great contributions. Thank you. 239-1310. 239-1310. We had a great start, but it's not good because we have not heard from you and you over there as we lead into the Mother's Day weekend. What makes a good mom? What makes a mom successful? 62% of all moms in this city are women in their 20s. So moms, grandmas, dads, granddads, We gotta help these moms out. What makes a good mom? What makes my mom successful? 239-1310. 239-1310. Or send me a text message to 37890, keyword Amos. Or send me an email at praiseindy.com. More after these. 239-1310. 239-1310. It's afternoon's Amos. Let me go to David. Hi, David.
How you doing, Amos?
I'm fine.
Great. Hey, these young ladies are giving some very good advice, and I just want to add my 2 cents on it.
Come on with it.
What I think will be a very successful, great mom is a mom that can lead, that can show their children the proper way to act, the proper clothes to wear. You lead by example. That's what's coming out of children as they see what we do.
Mm-hmm. So a mom is also a leader.
A very leader.
That's interesting. I don't think a lot of times people don't use the word leader when they talk about a mom.
That's the first thing a child sees, a mom.
Mm-hmm. That's
true. If the mom is not leading the proper way, the children going to go the same direction.
That's a good point, because, you know, when you're at the delivery room, that is the first thing the kid sees, other than the doctor and the nurse.
That's right.
Good point, my brother. I appreciate it. Let me go to Anonymous at 239-1310. Hi there.
How's it going, my friend?
Fine.
A real mother do not stop their children from seeing they father. And also, a real mother, as the young man said, leading by example. But I want to hear some of them real mothers call in, that the ones that wasn't scared of us would we can get on the radio and chastise us. They would pull us to the side and tell us what we was doing right or wrong, and tell us, you know, you know, the ones, if you had a baby, they tell you in their house, where you going, take that baby with you. Not the ones that are trying to raise they children, kids, when they didn't raise they kids right. Like Frank said, if you would have done it right the first time, you wouldn't have to do it all over again. I'm waiting to hear them real mothers to call in. Thank you, my friend.
All right, 239-1310. Back to the phones, and Artisha. Hi there.
Hi, Amos.
Hi.
I was calling because I believe what makes a good and successful mother is, first of all, you have to communicate with your child. You have to instill morals and values in your child. You have to be there for your child physically, emotionally. And also, I believe being grounded and rooted, in the Lord, that is the first and foremost, and knowing who you are and who your child is and being able to deal with them, you know, in such a way. And also the environment that you create, you know, for your child.
Mm-hmm. Is it difficult for the mom? The mom does all of that, particularly trying to, you know, ground and root their children in the Lord. And mm-hmm. then, you know, the children have free will and then they turn from it.
Mm-hmm. And they do, and that's where you have to be able to stand firm and stand fast in the word, to where the Bible says to lead a child up in the way that it should go, and when he is old, he will not stray from his way. So you just have to guess, God gave us, you know, choice, freedom of choice, but at the same time, if you try and ground and root your child in that way, then the Lord is going to make a way to bring your child back to, you know, what he was raised up in. And that's, it just comes in with, you know, trusting in the Lord. You know what I mean?
All right. Appreciate it, Artisha. Thank you. Let me go to Robin at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi. How are you?
I'm fine.
That's good. If I might, just to give a brief story,
okay.
I remember when I was much younger, and there was a program here in Indianapolis called Youth Works.
Yes.
Some of you might remember that.
Mm-hmm.
They employ youth, teenagers during the summer, and we went around picking up trash all along Fall Creek and Meridian and different areas.
Right.
I remember my very first check I ever made in my life. My mom came to pick me up after work, and I had made all these plans with my friends that I worked with that we were going to go shopping, we were going to go to the movies, we were just going to do all of these things.
You was going to spend that check.
I was going to spend it the way I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
My mom came and picked me up, and I got in the back seat of the car.
Mm-hmm.
She said hello. She asked me how was my day. I told her, fine, I'm good. She reached her hand over the seat and asked me, where's your check?
Uh-oh.
I said, in my pocket. She said, give it here. I said, huh? She said, give it here.
Give it up.
So I gave it to her.
Mm-hmm.
But in my mind, I'm thinking, why do you want my check? You got a check.
Mm-hmm.
Daddy has a check.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you want my check? And she told me, she said, you've got to learn that sometimes in life, you will work hard all week long. And when you get that check, you're not going to be able to do what you want to do.
Mm.
There's going to be bills.
Mm.
You're going to have to pay bills. You're going to have to buy groceries. So what you're going to do with this check is you're going to buy your school supplies. You're going to buy your clothes that you want for school. That's what you're going to do with this check. I was mad. I cannot use the words that I was thinking in my head, but I was mad as
yeah, I know.
You know the rest.
Yep.
But I learned from that.
Mm.
And now that I'm a mother, when I got a little bit older and I got, let's say, a real job, I'm working at Bank One, which is now Chase.
Right.
I got a real job, but I was still living at home.
Mm-hmm.
She gave me a bill to pay.
Oh.
I had to pay a bill. Mothers nowadays, should I say younger mothers or mm-hmm. a lot of mothers nowadays, your kids are living at home with you and you don't require for them to pay a bill.
Mm.
They get paid and they do whatever they want to do with their money while their mothers are sometimes struggling
mm.
to pay the phone bill, the light bill, even pay their cell bill and their child's
right.
cell phone bill. Well, the child is working and not doing any of that. They just looking at it as my mother pays it.
And your mom said, here the bill, put a check in it.
And you know what? It was only the water bill. You know, the water bill is not that much. But
she
instilled in me the responsibility of when you work, there's bills that need to be paid. This is for the rest of your life. Nobody is going to take care of you. I was mad,
yeah.
but now I look back on that and I appreciate it. And I'm able to instill those same things into my time.
What a great story of what makes a good mom. What a great story.
I was mad. I was mad, but I realize now, and I'm so happy now. Lord rest her soul. If she was here today.
She's listening.
Lord rest her soul.
Trust me, she's listening on the, we got satellite radio up there. She's listening. That's a great, Robin, that is a great story. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you for the opportunity to share it. Thank you.
Let me go to Jackie at 239-1310. Jackie, you gotta come. Go some now.
Hello. This is Jackie.
Yes.
I think what makes a good mother is, one, you don't want to be your child's friend. Sometime or another, you're going to have to be a mother. In order to be a mother, you're going to tell a child what's right and what's wrong, and you cannot be in competition with your teenage daughter. And that's another thing as a mother. And you can't be sparing their feelings because I don't want to hurt my child's feelings. You got to stand firm, and they've got to see you as a mother, not as their friend. And a lot of mothers today want to be their child's friend. That does not work. Later on, when the child grows up and throws it back in your face, you're upset because what you put out there for your child to see, she's telling you what she did as a mother, trying to be their friend.
Hmm.
Be a mother first. I am not your friend. I'm your mother. So there's a certain amount of respect that's due. I was scared of my mother for a long time, and what was scared, I thought she was 7 feet tall. I found out my mother's only 5'1" tall. But she instilled a fear in me that was turned into, from fear went to respect.
Mm.
Because she was my mother. She was not my friend. She didn't mind letting me know when I was wrong. She didn't mind disciplining me.
Right.
And she didn't mind letting me know, hey, Jackie, if this is where you're going to get wrong at, I'm going to get wrong with you.
Mm.
As a mother, we got to go back to the old ways because the old ways work. You know, if you bring a baby in here, you're going to be a mother to that baby. Your life ends right there when that baby comes in here. You're going to school whether you want to or not. We went to school, well, sick, whatever, get at your sick bed, go to school and die. That was what my mother implemented in us. Go to school and die. Make history. You know, but you're not just going to sit at home because you don't feel good. I don't want to go to school. And you see a lot of young mothers, not young mothers, but young women trying to be young, saying, he didn't feel good, or she don't want to go, or she don't want to do this. I didn't know I had a mind of my own until I got grown.
Mm.
You know, and as long as I was in my mother's house, there were certain rules that had to be. There was no question about, I want to do this, this is my house. When you feel grown, get out on your own.
Good, great points. Great points, Jackie. Appreciate it. Thank you. Let me go to, got a good one here. Proud to be her son at 239-1310. I'm proud.
Amos.
Yes.
I got to tell you, my brother, I got one.
Okay, come on with it.
I got one.
Come on with it.
Okay, so it's three. I got two brothers and a sister,
mm-hmm.
Okay? But here's the thing. I probably have 10,000 brothers and sisters because my mama taught Head Start for 33 years.
Oh, Lord.
Okay?
Okay.
So not only did she raise us and my father raised us, but she helped instill and raise and culture and teach and mold and care for over 10,000 kids. Can you imagine what kind of influence that she's had over this entire community? My mama, okay? After dealing with everybody's bad kids all day long, she come home and she'd have to cook for six people, okay?
Mm-hmm.
My three brothers, my two brothers and my sister and my father.
Mm-hmm.
And then take care of us and teach us and love us and be there for us and whoop us and put Band-Aids on us and cook for us and understand and cook breakfast on Sunday morning because we're going to church. Get up. You ain't sleeping over. No, get up. We're going to Sunday school.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, let's go. We're going to church. And sit there. And you ain't going to sleep on that bed with that whip will come down. Crack you in your head, man. You wake up. Oh, man, where am I? I'm sorry, mama. Man, I got the best one. Can I say her name?
Yeah, go ahead.
Clarissa Cannon. And a lot of people know her. She was Head Start teacher for 33 years, man.
Mm-hmm.
I love her to death. Love her to death. Best mom in the world, Amos.
I appreciate that testimony. Thank you, my brother. Thank you, Proud. Let me go to Georgia, 239-1310. So, Georgia, what makes a good mom? What makes a mom successful?
Well, I got one of those mothers that she's Georgia's from, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
And man, look at here. We was picking cotton down in a place, and then we're with some other people. She snatched up a cotton stalk and whipped me and told me, said, boy, you gonna get it today. And man, that whipping still hurt. I'm still in the workforce. But not only that, man, my mother, she was a valedictorian in high school. She had a full scholarship to go to Tuskegee until she met my Atlanta Playboy daddy, and she had me. So what can I say?
Well, that's you can't beat that one. That's a good one, my brother. I appreciate it. 239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's latest. Back to the phones and anonymous. Hi there.
Is it me?
Yes, it's you.
Hi, I have a comment.
Uh-huh.
My pastor told me a while ago that your mother had you, and she went through so much pain to have you. She was at the point of death when she had you. My mother had 17 surgeries, and yet she kept us together. She did not graduate from high school, but she told us we all were going to graduate, and we did. My mother was very strong and in her beliefs, and she stuck to them, and she's just a wonderful mother.
Did she exhibit? Somebody said earlier that a mother has to be a leader. Was your mom a leader?
She was. She had to be. She had two boys and two girls.
Mm-hmm. All right. Great comments. Appreciate it. Let me go to Angela at 239-1310. So, Angela, what makes a good mom? What makes a successful mom?
I think what makes a successful mom is when you're there for your children, the good and the bad, but you don't hold them up in the wrong. And you love them. You can love them. Just like God loves everybody, but he doesn't love what we do, but he loves us, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what mothers do. And I had a strong black woman that raised 8 children without a husband. That was a no good. But you know what? We went to college. We got degrees. We were successful. And the young man talked about his mother taking his paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
I remember being a child, and I worked on a summer program. And my mother said, you're going to pay rent here, me and my younger sister. Because wherever you live, you're going to have to pay. But I had an older sister. She hated giving my mother money. She'd put it underneath it. You know, back in the day, we had those dollies, remember?
Yeah.
She slid money under the dollies. She did not like giving my money. But that didn't matter. She gave it.
Mm.
You know, but today, parents want to be friends. I don't want to be my mother's kids' friends. My kids are grown now. Now they're friends. But I'm not the disciplinarian.
Mm-hmm.
I can't be your friend. Thanks.
All right, appreciate it. 239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name is Will. Take a break. We'll continue your comments. We've got a lot of great comments, but we haven't heard the best ones yet because we haven't heard from you. You can do it a couple of different ways. You can call us 239-1310, 239-1310, or you can send us email at praiseindy.com, or you can send me a text message. Text to 37890. Use the keyword Amos. 37890. Keyword Amos. Even got some people commenting on Twitter at Amos WTLC Indy on Twitter. It's Afternoons with Amos as we lead into the Mother's Day weekend. What makes a good mom? What makes a mom successful? And this all comes... Two-thirds of all moms in this city are women in their 20s. Now, it's not babies having babies. Teen moms are now less than 4% of all births in this city. So the bulk of moms are those in their 20s and 30s. So we're kind of like sharing here in the community because we want those moms and others to listen and hear stories of what makes a good mom. What makes a mom a successful mom? We had some great contributions, but the best is yet to come because we haven't yet heard from you. It's Afternoons with Amos on the Friday before Mother's Day.